the program. It's 503-733-2970. Put that library right below. This is Tina Yothers, and you're listening to the Rick Emerson Show. Love it. Hey, where did that go, by the way? Didn't Tina Yothers cut us a liner?
I think so.
The hell did that even go?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe it hasn't been released by her people.
No, it was across the hall.
She did.
It was like 5 feet from here. That's when she called herself Tina Yothers, which is
maybe
weird.
She mispronounced.
That seems unlikely.
Excuse me, Miss Yothers, you're mispronouncing your name.
Okay.
Well, she doesn't use it very often.
Yes.
In public. Well, to my knowledge.
They just call her the porky one. You there. All right. Hello.
I like your candy, though.
Sweet, sweet candy.
Thank you. I was totally waiting for you to do that. Can I have another taste?
Oh, do we have any of those left?
Can I have a taste of Tina Yothers? What?
Somebody found them. They're gone.
Yeah, that'd be me. No,
you little
pinky. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about the Tina Yothers?
I noticed you lost a lot of weight lately.
The Yothers bars? Yeah. The Nutrisystem bars? I told you shouldn't have kept them in here. Freaking DJs, man. They're everywhere. They're like animals. They're savages. So, they'll eat anything. They're like the Japanese. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Bill Gates gives $46 million to fight diarrhea.
Bam!
Yes, it's giving a nonprofit pharmaceutical company $46 million to expand its research on new treatment for diarrhea. That kills more than 2 million children, unless you're adopted by Madonna.
Why do you always do this? Why do you say something funny and you sucker me into laughing and then you go, this kills children? Why do you always, now I'm laughing about that. You know, well, blah, 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 a midget nearly killed by a pumpkin catapult.
In fairness, not all
of them. He was five, you know, and then you're always doing, diarrhea.
Kills children.
You know, it's always just long enough for me to chortle about it.
Right. This organization is called One World and is trying to eradicate this disease worldwide.
Trying to eradicate diarrhea?
Well, somebody's got to do it. I mean, we just can't keep going on like this forever.
She's going to drop thousands of corks everywhere. Here you go. Problem solved. Next.
I don't think there's anybody around who could solve that except for Bill Gates.
Really? If Bill Gates
has the sources
to solve diarrhea problems. Okay. Okay.
Meanwhile, a teenager has been arrested for firing a shot.
I'm sorry, I've said all I can say about children with diarrhea. There's really only so much I can work with there. I'm going to step back from the microphone now. Go ahead.
Let's talk about this. A teenager arrested for firing a shot into a MAX train last night. They were called to the platform at Northeast 122nd Avenue in East Burnside around 11 o'clock. Somebody fired a shot into an occupied train. Nobody was hit. Detectives think he intended to hit somebody, but he took off. Police found a bullet hole in the glass. But the cops already have a 16-year-old, so that was pretty quick.
Fantastic. Where is that?
On the MAX.
Burnside and 122nd?
Yeah. No man's land.
We know somebody who lives right there, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah. We know somebody who had to walk home from Dante's at 2:30 in the morning to that area.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a rough neighborhood.
Yes, it really is. By the way...
Why didn't that person just get a cab?
Because we're not Scotty.
We're not all Scotty J. I'm just going to say, we don't all just have a big wad of hundreds Jay-Z style in our pocket that, you know, here you go, take me to Florida.
That's
you know,
a long walk all the way to 122nd.
From Dante's to 122nd.
Isn't that 122 blocks?
Yeah, and the thing is, a block isn't a standard unit of measurement around here, because sometimes some blocks...
No, it would be 125. Dante's is on 3rd.
Ah.
And then a river.
Yeah, there you go.
And a thing.
And a thing. And a river! And a boat! And tangerines
and marmalade skies.
Snicky, snacky, wacky, cracky. No, and a block isn't a standard unit of measurement because you get, like in the Southeast, sometimes blocks are smaller, sometimes they're bigger. I mean, it's a long-ass ways, though. I don't know how many miles that is. That's really the question, is how many miles that is from Dante's to 122nd.
82nd at, what, 4 o'clock in the morning?
Which is the most dangerous intersection in Portland, by the way. Powell and 82nd is the single most dangerous dangerous intersection in Portland.
That's where my dentist used to be.
Really?
Oh, right next to
the one water used to drop off on my head while I was getting my teeth cleaned.
Totally, you're looking up and feces is raining from the ceiling. No, that is the most dangerous intersection in Portland. It's Powell and 82nd, followed by... Hawthorne and 39th.
Oh, I believe that.
Which is, man, every time I've nearly gotten killed on my bicycle, it's been right there.
That's where I hit the Buick.
You hit a Buick? I thought the Buick hit you.
No, no, I hit the Buick.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And that,
Does the Buick know this?
The Buick had a scratch on it. My Escort turned into an accordion.
Oh, okay, this accident. But I thought it was...
That's the only accident I had been in.
I assumed that he hit you because I know your Escort was destroyed. But
he was in my way.
And he... So I had to crush him. He was... All right, there you go.
Only the fittest survived.
He had to be imprisoned and beaten senseless. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, I understand the county had an emergency pandemic flu alert today. They sent it to all the employees on an email. Say, this to inform you, all county employees, this is the pandemic flu test, the emergency preparedness. So had this been actual pandemic flu... I guess you can leave.
Now, I've got this actually right here.
Multnomah County.
It's from Diane Lynn. I thought she was gone.
No, she's still hanging around. She's sending out the pandemic flu alerts. Until she finally
She's hanging
out
around waiting for the one. She's hanging like at closing time, just waiting for a man to take her home. Diane Lynn, Multnomah County Chair, sent this out. I will not say how I received this, because I guess, is it an internal email? Well, must not be. We know about it. How internal can it be?
I think they send it to us, too.
Well, whatever.
Why not?
This is an exercise. This is not an actual emergency. This is my email is to inform all county employees that as part of the pandemic flu test of our emergency preparedness system, I have asked the governors. This is so dull. So really, this is it. This is like if there's flu, they just email and they say, hey, the flu is going around.
So everyone exchange emails. The birds are coming to kill us.
You go. We're all going to die. They should just send out an email that says that, by the way. You're all about to die. Here's Tim Riley.
Former Maine Democratic candidate for Governor Tom Connolly was charged with criminal threatening after he stood at a site visible to commuters on I-295 wearing an Osama bin Laden mask and carrying an assault rifle.
That's genius. I mean, you shouldn't do that, but that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a real assault rifle?
It turned out to be fake.
Well, that's not a crime.
No, it's kind of Halloween fun, but apparently nobody thought so.
They arrested him?
Yeah.
Has he been charged with something?
Criminal threatening.
Okay, that's a bunch of crap. You can't... It's Halloween. You carry a toy gun on Halloween, and you've been arrested and charged with... Well, okay, well, there you go. Clear. That does explain it, then.
Oh, so it wasn't even a real gun?
Probably murders children in his spare time.
I don't think Osama bin Laden carries a gun.
Osama bin Laden doesn't even carry himself around anymore. He's dead.
I think he's been dead for several years.
He's in a ditch. He's a pile of bones at this point. It's Halloween, and he's carrying around a toy gun. And now he's been charged with what? Criminal threatening?
Yeah.
There you go. Land of the free. Bam.
Oh, President Bush says he wants Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney to stay on... Until the end of his presidency, at least.
Oh, fantastic.
So they're not going to quit.
Yeah, great. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Well, I know this is just the type of topic that sucks people in, but most dangerous intersections...
I would
wager to you is where Burnside and Sandy over near Spanish area over on the way to Lloyd Center comes together.
This is like the cow thing yesterday. I can sense it starting now. Okay,
where is the biggest pothole in town?
I would wager... I've heard that that's the most busy. I don't know if it's the most dangerous, but actually there in that 82nd and Powell area, one block up, if you will, to about 81st, 80th, is the intersection in the crosswalk where all the people get run over when they're going from Fred Meyer's to the bar.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? Could you repeat that?
I said the crosswalk there from Fred Meyer's to the the bar there on about 80th and Powell is where everybody gets run over.
There's no Fred Meyer in 80th and Powell, is there, Sarah?
I'm thinking Foster. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's on Foster. Yeah, it's across from Valley Village on 82nd.
We know, I've said that, I know where it is.
That's Gracie.
You put anything in relation to a Value Village or a Gen X clothing store, Sarah and I will know where it is. I exactly know. That's where I get my watch fixed, actually. That's where I get my watch sized. Is it that Fred Meyer?
Oh.
Because the Fred Meyer...
I thought you meant at Value Village.
No, yeah, Value Village. Can you fix this? And they fix it by tossing it in a can and setting it on fire.
Sell it for a dollar.
Yeah. No, because they have a jewelry department at that Fred Meyer, so that's where I go to get my watch sized.
Is that a recommendation?
No, I'm just saying that's how I know where that is.
And if you want to know how far it is from Dante's to 122nd and wherever you're going, just get on MSN Maps. And
I don't really care that much. There's a little news flash. It's not really a thing. It's not going to keep me awake at night. But bottom line is, you are saying the most dangerous intersection is Burnside and Sandy?
I would...
You mean that where it merges?
The most dangerous.
Oh, like
you
a spider. Yeah.
That intersection is all kinds of messed
up.
I've lived here for a decade, and I can't ever tell what lane I'm getting in there. And it doesn't help, by the way, that on Burnside, they do that crap where it's either like it's after 5 or before 9 or something, where like you can just park your car in one of the lanes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you get up to Burnside on like 38th, you just park your car in one of the lanes in the street. It's perfectly fine.
That's a zoo over there that, from Powell to... all the way to Lloyd Center, after 5, you got people just parking it, and it's like a left-hand only lane.
Yeah.
It just stops all of a sudden.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Bad deal. Right.
Thank you, sir.
I guess it's 8.3 miles.
That's what I got an estimate here that it was 7.7. So it's about that.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's not that far.
It's kind of like the marathon.
8 miles?
Yeah.
From Portland up to Jansen Beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, all right, then. Never mind. So, yeah, this person...
Well, the evening air is good for you anyway.
Well, but this person who had to walk... This person who had to walk from Dante's to home. So and they didn't even leave till like 2:30 in the morning. That's the thing. Leaving Dante's in no condition to drive, as I understand it. Walking drunk, staggering. And the thing is, it's got to take even longer when you're drunk, right? I don't know how long it takes to walk 8 miles when you're drunk, but I'm guessing it's, that's a good, hour and a half?
It takes me like a half an hour to walk from, like... 6 blocks.
Seriously, yeah. So, I mean, that's nothing but bad. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's talk more about John Kerry, because it's so much fun to do, shall we? Apparently, he was on the IMUS program today, and this is the first time the show's gotten any publicity in the longest time.
Oh, man, I was watching this on YouTube, and just IMUS teetering over like a skeleton. Mm-hmm. Just like the Crypt Keeper.
A skeleton hang onto a counter.
He looked, fingers super glued to the desk. Just
with a cowboy hat on.
Oh, that's right, I'm in.
I'm a real cowboy.
You know, I like to be surrounded by children.
Give me another marble.
Oh.
I like to be surrounded by sickly children. Here's the thing about IMUS, though, is that, you know what he looks like? He looks like that Grateful Dead illustration. That's the you know what I'm talking about, too?
With the roses?
Yeah, the skeleton with the circle of roses. That's exactly what he looks like. It hit me this morning as I was watching him. And it just...
But it's strange that he has enough moving parts to keep him working.
That really is true. He kind of looks like Minnie Pearl, like in a big Western outfit or something. But yeah, he totally looks like
how
a great
artificial parts are inside of him to like keep everything going at once.
He's just made of silicone and wire. Okay, so is this him talking to Kerry?
I guess so, yeah.
He still puts a smack down on Kerry, though. Kerry calls up to,
I'm not sure if this is a good one or not, but we'll find out.
I've got it. If this is not the right one, I've got it.
Okay. It was a botched joke. Of course I'm sorry about a botched joke. You think I love botched jokes? I mean, it's pretty stupid. This was directed at the people who didn't do their homework, didn't listen to history, didn't listen to their own advice, and they owe the American people apology.
Okay, here's the one I've got.
I want the good one.
Let's see here.
So IMUS is still alive. Well,
yes, that's your news flash for today. IMUS still alive, to the best of our knowledge.
You make the most of it.
No. Nah, Kerry IMUS, here we go. This is IMUS talking to Kerry this morning.
I'm now the junior senator from the state of Massachusetts, Senator John Kerry. Good morning, Senator Kerry.
Good morning, Don IMUS. How are you?
Please, stop it. Stop talking. Go home. Get on the bike. Go windsurfing. Anything. Stop it. You're
nope.
Going to ruin it.
No, and there you go. And then IMUS continues. John Kerry continues to defend the thing or whatever. But anyway, God, and Lisa Goddard totally nailed it. Like, nobody's really saying this, but he's hosed. He's done. He's finished. And the great thing is that... every time something like this happens, Howard Dean has just got to like feel better and better about himself. Because I mean that Howard Dean scream.
Here's Howard Dean.
That just pales in comparison to this. Ain't nothing compared to John Kerry.
Howard did have something to say about this.
I think it focuses on the war. I think it also focuses on the president's own intemperate language, saying that voting for Democrats is voting for the terrorists to win. I think is intemperate, particularly from a guy who's criticizing someone who did serve, and President Bush has never served.
There we go. Fantastic.
Meanwhile, the president, calling another radio show today, said the military deserves respect and gratitude.
Anybody who is who's in a position to serve this country ought to understand the consequences of words. People here may not agree with my decision. I understand that. But what I don't understand is any diminution of their sacrifice. We've got incredible people in our military, and they deserve full praise.
Okay, I got to go back and listen to that again. First of all, I'm going to skip the whole blah, 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 George Bush saying we got to understand the impact of words. This whole thing wears me out. There's so much to say. Let's listen to this one more time.
Anybody who is who's in a position to serve this country ought to understand the consequences of words. People here may not agree with my decision.
February has 28 days, by the way.
But what I don't understand is any diminution of their sacrifice.
No, I know it's a word.
People in our military, and they deserve full praise.
Yeah, I know it is to be diminutive, or to make something diminutive. It's just, now you know that that's a thing. You know that that is a little word jewel, as Hunter Thompson would say, that they script it out. You know, and it's very telling, by the way, that he's on the phone there where he can read that phonetically off a large piece of paper, that he's not actually in front of a crowd having to speak. As though I'm supposed to believe that a guy who can't say nuclear correctly can somehow say diminution without any problem. So, anyway, there you go. I did get some emails about this, actually, that... This is a pretty interesting point now, and I don't want to get bogged down in whether or not John Kerry is right in his assessment of who joins the military at this point, because that's sort of a side issue. But this, I'm going to read this email here. This is from Ryan. Rick, isn't it funny that a man who served two tours in Vietnam and was decorated for valor is being painted as a traitor to our troops by men in the president's cabinet who enjoyed dozens of deferments from the war? Now listen, this is the thing here. When he says, think if Bush got treated like this every time he misspoke. Is the Republican Party really encouraging parents to put food on their children or for OBGYNs to practice their sweet love with women across the country? Anyway, so there you go. It's true. I mean, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm really not. But it is worth asking. I should really ask Lisa Goddard about this today. Again, we brought this up with her in the past when Bush said he got fiscal numbers from February 30th. We asked her about this. By the way, did you notice that that's a thing that never appeared anywhere else?
No.
Letterman played it actually about 3 weeks after the fact, but I never heard anybody else talk about it. That's one of those things that aired and then they buried it. They never played it again.
That's why it's necessary to listen to this program every day.
That's really, if you tune out of it for even a second, you're really going to be behind.
When we're off the air, so are you.
The cultural curve. But I mean, really, so let's assume for the moment that John Kerry meant to make a joke about blah, 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 you get us stuck in Iraq.
He's not a funny person.
And he's not, and he shouldn't try to be. But it really is amazing that just like in the time that it takes John Kerry to say one dumb thing, that Bush says like any number of things that are grammatically and factually completely bereft of any sort of, I mean, it is just so flagrantly wrong. And I guess that the press, they just has got overwhelmed at a certain point and they just kind of threw up their hands and they quit talking about it. By the way, it's been reported to us by the person who had to walk home from Dante's that it took 2 hours. So there you go. 4:30 in the morning.
That's walking briskly.
4:30 in the morning, and you know it was cold, too. And that drunk wears off about, I don't know, probably halfway through that walk.
Right, so when the neighborhood gets bad.
Good times. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the president said some politicians are hurting the morale of the troops.
The only reason we could lose in Iraq is if we leave. And therefore, we've got kids sacrificing in Iraq, and when they hear, you know, politicians say, get out before the job is done, that's discouraging to them, and it's discouraging to the Iraqis, and it's encouraging to the enemy.
Yes, peace with honor.
Meanwhile, Oklahoma City Community College is holding a bake sale tomorrow in a nationwide effort to supply troops in the Middle East with body armor.
We're really trying to keep politics out of it because this is a bipartisan issue. You know, we want as many people to be able to support
saving lives. As everything in Oklahoma is.
So that's our main focus here.
Okay, there you go.
On to B.
There's just too many jokes about an Oklahoma bake sale we can pursue at this point.
Meanwhile, a University of Virginia law student says he plans to press charges against... Oh, wait a minute. The first one is Tony Snow saying, John Kerry threw gasoline on a fire.
And what he ought to say is, look, I botched the line, but I'm sorry for giving offense. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing.
Meanwhile, a University of Virginia law student says he plans to press charges against three men who shoved and tackled him to the ground at a Senator George Allen campaign event yesterday in Charlottesville. We heard that.
Is this the guy who said, you spit on your wife?
Yep. Mark Stark shouted a question to Senator Allen during the event, asking whether or not he had ever spit on his wife. Allen declined to answer the question.
Why would you even ask that question?
That's
a question that doesn't just appear in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's a lot of, you know, you like to be dressed up as Little Bo Peep and beaten with a belt kind of a thing. I mean, it's an overly specific question.
So Senator Allen declined to answer the question, after which Stark was forcibly removed.
And I wanted to know what his story was. You know, why are those divorce records sealed? I'd still like to know why the divorce records are sealed, why he won't tell us what's in them.
Yeah, let's all find out.
So here's the incident one more time.
Let's move on. Senator Allen, hey. Did you spit on your first wife?
Oh, fantastic.
Hank, now you're getting personal. You mean, I didn't touch anybody, okay?
You need to move on out here now.
Hear it, boy.
Here now.
The hotel asked me to leave, I'd leave.
Pick up the switch.
Let's move on.
Senator Allen, hey. Did you spit on your first wife?
What about the second wife?
I don't know why that's so funny. I think it's the echo. I think it... I don't know what makes that clip so amusing. I think it's the fact that he's far away from the microphone, so you're getting some resonance.
Theater of the mind.
To the void. Really,
let's move on.
Senator Allen, hey. Did you spit on your first wife?
Genius. All right. Is there another comment?
Senator Allen responds afterwards.
People have a right to express themselves and do it in a peaceful manner, and that's their right to do so.
Let's move on.
Senator Allen, hey. Did you spit on your first wife?
Fantastic. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with a CNN radio correspondent, Edna Cossi, I think. Wait.
Yes.
That's exactly what we're going to do. That's what we should do. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We return to Ed McCarthy around the corner. Later on, we got CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's going to be here. Dennis Pitzenbarger will tell us how his wife beat somebody down in a bar. And we'll do other things as well. Winglebert. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we'll talk about Reese Witherspoon and so forth. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here to talk about a bar brawl that he got into this weekend. What else? We're going to tell you how to vote. You strip away those last little bits of the democratic process. It's sort of a democracy inside of a democracy. Was it you, Sarah, that asked me about that?
No, it was Smokey.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, well, we'll talk about it later.
But if you do it for me, too, I'd appreciate it.
Fantastic. Rick Emerson cares. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome from the South. Ow! Oh, that's loud. Hello, Ed McCarthy.
Well, hello, Rick.
How are you, sir? You've been gone for some time, for a spell.
Yeah, on the road and back again, and sometimes you wonder if you should leave the road. How are you?
I'm really okay. Your laugh makes everything better, Ed. So something's going to kill us all. What is it? It's not E. coli. It's Salmonella.
Salmonella. Third baseman for the Brooklyn Dodgers, yes. Either.
Yeah, we're all going to die this week from... We're just going to start spinning a wheel every week of things we're going to die from. We just got an internal email sent to us from Multnomah County, which is where we are here in Portland, and we have a bunch of city employees who listen to us. We have our roots go deep within. We are deep inside the man's power structure here, and apparently there's some email circulating within all of the health departments here in our county about a flu pandemic. They're apparently getting ready for us all to be killed by the flu. What is it? Is this in 18 different states though that there's this Salmonella outbreak?
Yeah, and this time it's not in the California region, which would probably let out the take us off the hook for the bagged spinach thing. So they're looking at tomatoes and lettuce now. So they really don't have a cause. They haven't found a cause for this thing, but a lot of people were sick.
Didn't they? Well, two things. A, California. It's just sentences that don't make any sense, like when he said, wild boars are to blame for E. coli. Which is weird enough. Now, can I ask a really stupid question? And this is going to make me look like the biggest idiot on planet Earth. I can hear people cringing and laughing and pointing even as I get ready to say this. Does Salmonella have anything to do with salmon?
Does not.
Okay,
does
see,
not.
But it's spelled the same way. And, I mean, who's to say? I mean, it's... Okay, quit giving me your look, Sarah. Like you knew. You thought it. You just didn't want to ask. Rick Emerson asked the tough questions, the embarrassing questions, the stupid questions.
Salmon's probably the only safe thing we could eat now, the way things are going.
It's spelled Salmon, like salmon. Look, if there was a disease called, called Sarah Dillonella, like, it would be fair to go, is now. Does this have something to do with Sarah Dillon? I mean, you know what I mean. If there was McRib basket again,
I haven't even said anything, and you're sitting here rapidly defending yourself,
rolling your eyes. All right. Well, anyway, so we should just try not to eat stuff, or we're doomed, right? There's nothing
you
we can do.
You don't know
about
what to eat. I guess you eat the stuff, and then you find out. Oh, I'm sick. What happened?
So, pretty much live for today is the CNN approach to this.
You have to.
Well, all right. Well, there you go.
Unless you're a worrywart, like I know some people are, and they worry about things constantly.
Yeah, I'm going to quit worrying about things as of now. Now, I no longer worry. I just have deleted that file in my head. You guys have got a big Senate race, which is, of course, it's all across the country. But it's, I know that you were talking about, it was Jim Talent and Claire McCaskill, and this is in Missouri, where it's, I mean, there's just like mud and just yellow journalism and just vile accusations all across the country being slung back and forth. But I mean, throughout the South, Bush has been going all the way through there. Is it generally considered to be his court, you know, to be his game to lose in the South, or is he still trying to, are there places up for grabs down there?
Well, in the South, yeah, especially there's a Max Burns race for Congress. In Georgia, but that one in that we're talking about in Missouri is the Midwest is really key right now, and that McCaskill race with Talent is about 49% to 49% right now. It's a toss up.
Well, see, and that's races like that are fantastic because that's really when just the real the horrible vile dirt begins to fly. I mean, that's really what I live for right there in those political races.
Well, so. All the people I talked with in Missouri about this race, they're just so tired of this negative campaigning. It's just amazing. All these negative TV ads, people are barraged by this, and it's not just Missouri; it's all over the place.
Well, and we were talking to Lisa Goddard about this earlier, too. Now everybody's going to be feeling the repercussions of this John Kerry thing that he said the other day. Boy, that guy, John Kerry is a guy who needs, the Democratic Party needs to raise money to send him on vacation for, like, the next decade. You know what I mean?
I was rather amazed by that whole thing. That seems to be too much of a slip of the tongue for somebody of John Kerry's stature.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like and for him to retroactively go back and say, I mean, look, regardless of what one thinks about the accuracy of his comment or lack thereof, just, you know, from a political perspective, you think that somebody would read his speeches or he would tell somebody in his camp, like, why don't you have a look at this text before I read it? And it does seem like this is sort of some next morning retconning, as they say, which is, in other words, to go back and to be claiming that what you really meant to say was something else, when it seems like what he said yesterday was exactly what he meant to say. He didn't realize how stupid it was until it came out of his mouth.
He's not apologizing, that's for sure.
I think he thinks that that's going to make him look tough and intractable, when really, I mean, I think Lisa said it this morning, that nobody's coming out and saying this, but that's the final nail. That guy's hosed. He's done. He's finished. Just put a fork in him, because it's over. It's over.
You start canceling appearances to go for candidates. That's pretty much a true tale there.
That was the big thing today, too. It was like and that's got to be fun, too, when he answers the phone four different times in a row this morning. It's a lot of it. John Kerry here.
Yeah, John, we don't need. Just go ahead and sleep in today. We'll talk to you in a few months. We'll get back to you. Don't worry about it.
All right, my friend. Well, if I survive, people are now sending me a lot of taunting emails about salmonella. I was curious. It's a thing I wondered. Anyway. All right, well, if I manage to live through this and the E. coli and the wild boars and the whatever, we will talk in the near future. My friend, glad to have you back. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Rick.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in the South.
Wasn't his daughter going to come through? We bring this up like once every month.
But I can't bring that up without looking cool. Wasn't your daughter going to come this way? Like, I can't talk about it. It just makes me sound weird. I can't inquire as to when his daughter's going to be coming to see us. It just makes
me
sound strange.
That's a perfectly normal question.
I suppose. It's just I'm afraid that it's going to come creepy if I ask that. Rick, does salmonella come from salmon? Is chicken of the sea tuna or is it chicken? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, okay, thank you. There you go.
I really, really have never thought that salmonella came from salmon.
I'm getting a lot of emails now that are just addressed. No, Jessica, chicken of the sea is not chicken. I'm glad that everybody leapt exactly to the same pop culture moment to ridicule me. Thank you. Thanks for that. Well, look, okay, let me ask you this, Miss Smarty Everything.
I am not. You are taking your anger out on everyone else who's writing you on me.
Let me ask you about chicken pox. Now, why is it called chicken pox?
I don't know.
See, that's what I'm saying. Nobody knows, but I'm the only
but
one.
But I know really... that it doesn't have anything to do with chicken, probably.
How do you know? How do you know that? That's what I'm saying.
I don't.
So I'm just making the observation that
I've never really wondered about it.
Rick Emerson is willing to stand up and ask the questions that need to be asked. Rick Emerson is willing to stand up and broach the subjects that won't be broached. To inquire about things that no one else will inquire about. I'm just killing time until Tim comes back in here.
Oh, okay.
To do stuff.
So what's another animal disease?
Needs to be elephantitis.
Does that start with elephants, do you think? Or just because they're big?
I'm just saying, you ask for another one, I give you another one. Rick, here's a thought. Is the mystery sound a spinner from the game of life? Here's Tim Riley.
Well, an Arkansas lawyer who is accused of stealing drugs removed from homes of dead people says he'll challenge a statement he believes his client made. Apparently, this fellow was arrested after searching the home, turned up prescription drugs. Prosecutors say the lawyer confessed to using them. Meanwhile, he could run, but he couldn't hide. That amnesia victim is reunited with his fiance. He's from Olympia, Washington, suffering from amnesia, wandering the streets of Denver.
Oh, she's suffering from man-nesia.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the best it gets up there, I'm
big
sure.
Big lady.
She's got a broad face.
Jeff Ingram and Penny Hansen met at SeaTac.
Penny.
After Ingram flew back from Denver.
You know, Penny Lane being the sole exception to this, women named Penny are never attractive. Women named Penny are never cute. It's just certain names that are just working up in reverse there.
Well, Ingram has been searching for his identity for more than a month, and that's when he was finally recognized when he appeared on television. He's 40 years old. He left home September 6th to visit his mother in Alberta, but never made the schedule stop. Apparently, he found himself in Denver September 10th, walking around for 6 hours, asking people, "Help me! I don't know who I am." He ended up in a hospital. And he still has no memory. Thank God he's safe. I care about his safety, said his fiance.
Yeah, she's kind of like an Annie Wilkes kind of thing going on with her there.
Ho, ho, ho. It's time for the holiday season in downtown Portland. Hundreds of downtown trees are now sporting holiday lights.
I saw those little white lights.
785 trees on 63 blocks will be lit. Make it easier to find your way home if you're walking at
night. I was driving through downtown last night, actually. I saw them. It was very cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of those. And because I am white trash, yes, the interior of my home does have a ceiling that is ringed with little white Christmas lights.
In my old apartment, I never turned on my ceiling lights. I just lived with Christmas lights.
That's totally me, too, because my ceiling lights are all glary and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so if you go in my living room here,
I've been there.
Who is that listener that we found out lives?
Megan.
What? Yeah, Megan. So there you go. If you want to Jimmy my window, or you know, if you're not busy stealing my toilet paper, rifling through my trash, you can. Well, no, because
that's a horrible thing to say. It was the crackheads before.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not her. I'm just saying I'm hoping she's a cut above. Since she did introduce herself to me by saying, "I live next door. I won't steal your toilet paper," which is just so bizarre, and it just plagued me for days until I figured out how she even knew about that.
Feel violated.
You look at it. You want to feel violated when somebody steals your toilet tissue. That's when you feel violated. Well, look, because
that's too personal.
It really is. Because now look, because you know, I buy
You're
not premium
so
brands. I'm this. No,
you're
I'm
bitching about toilet paper.
Okay, now listen to
me. We want
to
hear about it, though.
Do you buy the quilted, expensive stuff?
No,
I don't. But I will say this: that I do buy it in bulk, meaning you know you buy the big whatever, the 24 or whatever. But
you use a lot of toilet paper in your house, huh?
Those are single ply,
I'm waiting
by the
for
way.
Bill Gates to cure me. But that's the thing that, how do I put this? It's like this. Have you ever, and this probably happens to Sarah less than it happens to guys. I think this is a guy thing. But you're in the bathroom, you're in the stall, door shut, pants down, taking care of your business. And then some guy, and it's always a guy you work with, will come in and he'll, like, recognize your shoes or whatever. And he'll be like, did you close that Jenkins account? You know, like, I'm here with my pants down. Could you just... So, you just let me know. I'll send over a rate card. Hello? Rick?
And it's the guy that makes the sandwiches at Quiznos.
Yeah, and it's
ew, like, and doesn't wash the
and it's like that's it's understood.
Has that happened before?
No.
Okay. Oh no, I'm always in the bathroom next to the guy from Quiznos.
He doesn't?
Well, no.
They wear gloves.
I'm not. Well, I'm just gonna say, maybe they have a sanitizer somewhere.
Sounds like something from a Seinfeld episode.
Okay, I'm never eating there again.
Don't. No. Now I didn't
not
say that
in particular.
Don't. No, I'm just
no
saying.
I know. They wear gloves anyway, so it doesn't make
it... Just making the observation that I...
Good heavy-handed gloves.
What are you saying? You went to the bathroom and the Quiznos guy didn't wash his hands.
Did I say that?
No.
That's you who said that, Sarah Dillon. I never said any such thing.
What is the truth behind what happened behind those closed doors?
I'm checking for gloves at the break.
Best quote ever. And it's like, but it's
deerskin gloves.
It's understood. Deerskin gloves. It's understood, though. At least it should be that when you go to the bathroom and you're in the stall, that's like a no-talk zone. That is like a bubble that exists separate from reality. Not unlike the restaurant at the end of the universe for you sci-fi fans. It's a bubble that exists separate from and outside of regular reality. And you go in there and everybody, you don't have to talk. So if you recognize somebody's shoes, for the love of God, talk to them later. Wait 5 minutes. But no, some guy touched, and you feel violated. You're like, here I am with my pants down. I'm having to talk about some cart machine.
Maybe somebody should invent like a
door.
A karaoke to put on the door to keep people busy instead of talking to other people.
So I can karaoke while I'm in the bathroom.
I think it's a great idea.
But I've never been to me. anyway, but so it's a particular, it's a weird feeling of violation. Now, here's my thing about toilet paper at my house and stealing of same, is that there is a particular vulnerability that comes when you are using the bathroom or you're preparing to use the bathroom and you look and there's the empty roll because someone, Laura, it often does not replenish the toilet tissue if it goes out. And look, and I'm not, you'll forgive the phrase, anal retentive about a lot of things, but if you use the last of the toilet tissue, we all know this. You've got to replace it, right? And here's the other thing. Don't just put the new roll on the back of the toilet. You want to talk about something that just makes you look like a character from Mama's Family. Take off the old goddamn roll and put the new one on. But so here's the thing. You're going, oh, I can't wait to use the bathroom. Oh, I'm out of tissue. Well, that's fine. I'll just go into the hallway and get another roll.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
Let me get some leaves. Let me get some deerskin gloves.
There's a hand towel.
but I'm like, I'll just go into the hallway. And then I open the hallway, goddamn toilet paper, gone. That's why it's such a violation that my old neighbor was stealing our toilet tissue. Because that's a thing that you don't go to replenish until you need it. You're getting ready to use it. And then, not there. Deerskin gloves. Okay. Okay, I swear to God, here's what it says on the screen. Line 2. Charming rabies story. And then, read this sentence that Scotty has typed on the screen out loud.
Jog down hall as pants are around ankle.
Why has Scotty typed that on the screen?
I can imagine that happening in suburbia.
I really don't understand. But there's a charming rabies story apparently we're going to get to.
It's heartwarming, so gather the kids around the wireless.
Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, I thought we were going to the charming rabies story.
Nah, I can wait.
Well, let's talk about the free shotguns with a truck purchase.
Fantastic. Wait, where's this
Ford?
At?
This is happening in Chester County.
Should we start our
be?
Hick Watch?
Oh, I guess this could be.
Let's make this a Hick Watch. Here you go. Here's your Hick Watch for thank you. Copenhagen makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Here's your Hick Watch for Wednesday.
Country Dodge is offering a certificate for a free shotgun with every SUV or pickup purchase. The president of the dealership says it's just marketing to likely customers. The certificate's a good at a local gun shop, which does bathroom checks. It's a background checks.
Hello!
Under the law. It coincides with hunting season. About 25 gun certificates have been given out so far.
Boy, you know, if I was a high concept kind of radio program,
what would that mean?
No, where they come on and like John and Jeff, they do a thing like this.
Oh, okay.
Where you could come on and like, you know, where it's very much a sort of a fill in the blank kind of thing. Which we do sometimes, like we do the, you know, the closest you ever came to dying was. But that is, what is it they say? The people who buy a truck, you know, the thing that they also want is a shotgun.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of like people who shop at blank would definitely love to have a free blank. I mean, it's just a whole, so I'm just giving you that right now. If you are one of those radio programs out there somewhere, you just need to take that, run with it. It's genius. I mean, really, if I had like a spare 5 hours to kill, I would absolutely do that.
All right. Part 2 out of 3 parts. Is Walmart the king of cheap, shooting itself in the foot by straying from its low-price strategy in favor of more upscale offerings? And its weekly sales update, The world's largest retailer reported that October sales at its U.S. stores, at least open a year, apparently rose much weaker than the expected 0.5%.
I don't understand what upscale goods they're talking about at Walmart.
Okay. Compared to the basic T-shirts, sweatshirts, and jeans Walmart typically sells, their new store, which will be called Metro 7, is a step up in fashion and price. The strategy worked at first. Walmart couldn't get the product into the stores fast enough, though. The retailer expanded Metro 7 into 600 stores, hoping to leverage the brand's early success.
Not going
to
work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Here's why.
Because we care.
No, because first of all, no guy is going to shop at a store whose name sounds a lot like metrosexual. Let's just say that first of all, it's called Metro 7, and the first thing guys think of is, I'm not going to buy my, you know, metrosexual 7 store. Not going to happen, woman. That's the first thing. People who shop at Walmart, who shop in Walmart because they want to buy a truckload of dingy, ugly clothing for $1.99. That's why. It's not going to happen at this store. So you're not going to be able to transition those customers from one to another. See, and finally, here, what?
I thought that was A.
No, that was, no, we're at C now.
We're on to D.
Or three. The final thing is, Sarah will not remember this because she is too young, but Scotty will. Tim probably does not remember this either because he went to a prep school where such things weren't a concern. The people in my general demographic remember when Kmart... Now, see, does Kmart... Let me ask you this, Sarah. You were kind of one of the kids, sort of.
Yeah.
Does Kmart still have a terrible, terrible reputation among the young people?
I don't think it doesn't exist.
It's not on their radar.
Yeah.
Really, it just doesn't exist. I mean,
because I would go to Kmart when I was younger because that was one of the only stores in the town I lived in.
It was the Montgomery Ward of her generation.
Yeah, they had a little Caesar's pizza.
Real pizza. When you
went to Jackson Beach,
they still exist anymore. See Little Caesars.
Yes. I saw
get two pizzas for like 15 cents.
Yeah. I used to deliver for them.
Really?
I don't even think there is Kmart anymore. Isn't it just Big K?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I'll lead to that in a second. But when you were going to school, what was there a store that, like, if people had clothes from that store, they were immediately, like, branded as loser?
Yeah, it was Walmart.
Walmart, really?
Yeah.
So, like, where'd you get those pants? Walmart. And you were like Carrie White. You were suddenly just like total outcast. So, okay, that's how Kmart was. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions. I'm just a fine store, whatever. But, you know, but kids latch onto a thing. And when I was in high school, if you dressed from Kmart, you were like a full-on screaming loser. That's just how the kids thought of it. And Kmart is aware of it. They're no fools. They do market research. They were aware that their name carried a lot of... It was like radio. It was like realistic. It was like the realistic brand.
It's not really real, but it's close.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like when I... But, you know, you go up to anybody, you're like, what brand of stereo is this? Realistic. Like, everybody knows that has a negative connotation to it. So with Kmart, like I said, they're not idiots. They knew that this was what the market research said. And so Kmart, when I was about 17, 18, 19, they transitioned to Big K. And the thing is, it just didn't work because everybody knew that Kmart is Big K. Like, that's the thing about the name change. The name change doesn't work if you do it in public and everybody knows about it. Because then...
You use the same letter in the alphabet.
And a K is still the center of your alphabet. That doesn't really work. Changing your name to Jeff Stone doesn't really work when every news story says, Jeff Galooly is now Jeff Stone! Because nobody calls you Jeff Stone. They still call you Jeff Galooly. That's kind of the fact. So,
what about Myron Frank now being Macy's? Same store or a different store?
See, that's a different store, though, isn't it?
They changed the signs, which is really expensive because they had to cover up all the holes because the name used to be longer.
Now, is Myron Frank the same as Macy's?
They're in the same buildings.
Yeah, they bought out Bon Marché.
So does Bon Marché even exist any longer?
I don't think so.
So my question is at Lloyd Center, has Myron Frank gone out of business? Have they been consumed by Macy's in a corporate sense? Or, like,
so.
Did that location, is it just like when a Taco Time becomes a Wendy's?
I think
does
so.
Anybody really care?
No. We can get to the worst story ever.
Oh, God.
Because it's part of the Hick Watch.
It really is the worst story ever, though. It really is. I want to prepare you for this. It really is a terrible story.
It's worse than the guy sleeping with a 5-day dead dog.
Yeah, really? In full view of the daycare. That was really the selling facet of that story. Is he actually
No,
had...
the sex with the dog was the selling part for me.
And then it had been dead for
Who
5 days.
Who doesn't want to hear about that?
Really, but no, for me, it's just that like 30 feet away was a school full of impressionable children looking at the window. That really was like the golden jewel of that story.
So
that was the centerpiece of that story.
Is this the one with the son and daughter or mother?
Yeah.
Oh, the one you didn't get to yesterday.
Son and mother and a lot of, well, we'll let Tim
secret
read this.
Love.
Here's, well, not secret anymore. Here's
no.
the, here's part three. By the way, you will notice at the top of the page, I have written in big letters.
The worst story
worst
ever.
Worst story ever. So it's clearly, you don't call up and say that you're offended and horrified and I can't believe what you just.
Let me start by saying this took place in Albertville, Alabama. Let your imagination run wild. You're probably correct.
In a trailer park in Albertville, Alabama, by the way. And a story in which one of the participants was drunk. All right, here we go.
Dateline, Albertville, Alabama. And this, the worst story ever. Police say a Marshall County teen raped his mother to get revenge on his brother. Police say 19...
Let's just stop. And really just let that sort of marinate in your mind
to
for a second.
To get revenge on his brother.
Now, how does that work exactly? Is that a lot of, like, I'll make him jealous? Anyway, let's move on.
Police say 19-year-old Gary Helms Jr. raped his 45-year-old mother this past weekend at Willow Terrell Trailer Park on Doyle Drive in Albertville. It's a twisted crime that police say Helms admits. Quote, from what we understand, the rape stemmed from an argument with his brother. Apparently, they were arguing over a girlfriend, and the rape was some sort of retaliation toward his brother, said Sergeant Jamie Smith of the Albertville Police Department. Authorities say Helms' mother was apparently passed out drunk on the couch when the rape occurred.
Oh.
It's totally sick, is what it is, say the police. Helms was arrested and charged with first-degree rape of his own mother. Smith says it's hard to wrap your mind around this.
Hey,
shock, oh. Shock is a better way to describe it.
There you go. Firmly in the red state category, by the way. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's your worst story ever. There's your Kick Watch.
Copenhagen makes me feel good.
What problem is there that you're having with a girlfriend that some and your brother that can somehow be remedied by having sex with your mother while she's passed out on the sofa? And I'm presuming, I mean, I guess the story assumes she would have resisted had she been awake. I mean, I guess that's the general thrust of the investigation here. But really, what kind of relationship does one already have with one's brother, girlfriend, and mother that that would then enter your mind as, well, I'll show him. I'll have sex with mom tonight. It's just in a trailer park in Alabama. Bam! All right, there you go. Let's take a break here, shall we? When we come back, Dennis Pitchenbarger will tell how his wife beat somebody down in a bar over the weekend. Let's see. Tim Riley coming up bottom of the hour. We'll go back to the Ministry of Truth. Jim Roop going to talk with us later on as well. Don't forget, Tom Likas live 2 days from now, live Friday, 3 to 7 at Barracuda. Brought to you by Taboo Adult Video, Wild Turkey, and Team Quest Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness. They'll also be on our show live tomorrow at the 2 p.m. hour. Here's the Groovy Ghoulies back after this.